especially new exorcists, when they see what they see, like, how could this be real? A lot of exorcists go through this kind of rude awakening as they're being trained. Some of them have told, like Father Thomas, Father Lampert, have told great stories of being trained in Rome, just kind of like trial by fire. And the things that they see the demons do is, you wouldn't see it and you wouldn't believe it unless you saw it.
Uh-huh. Now, just for the understanding of the listeners, there are two different kinds of sacramentals. So there are ritual sacramentals, and all of the liturgical rites of the church are sacramentals in as much as they're instituted by the church for our sanctification, not instituted directly by Christ, right? So I'm talking about the liturgical rites, not the sacraments, but the rites that sort of encompass the sacraments. And then there are physical things that are sacramentals, like crucifixes, medals, miraculous medals, St. Benedict medals, scapular. And you mentioned that the exorcism itself is a sacramental, meaning it's a ritual sacramental that also utilizes other sacramentals like holy water, blessed salt, blessed medals and crucifixes and so forth. Is that fair enough? Did I explain that okay?
Oh, yeah, right, because the more I do research on what sacramentals are, it's such a rich, complicated, complex mechanism that the church has to give us graces after the sacraments, of course, which are the big sources.
Yeah, the difference being that Christ instituted the seven sacraments to give grace, whereas the sacramentals are instituted by the church, so they're still they're still efficacious, but not in the same way, to the same degree. Going back to how these exorcists know what they know, I guess it's like any sort of craft or any sort of art, an art being something which is done, rectoratio factibilium, right? It's not just learned like a science. So there's the science aspect, there's the theology they have to know, but then there's the actual practicing of that art, the plying of the craft or trade of being an exorcist. So I guess exorcists have to have shop talk, like a mechanic, right, or teachers. You're a teacher, I'm a teacher. I'm sure there are times in the teacher's lounge or wherever the teachers gather that they sort of trade secrets, or young teachers get taken under the wing of older teachers. This is how you deal with problem students and things. So the exorcists have to deal with problem demons and learn what works and what doesn't work. So you say in the book that there was kind of a loss of this tradition with the whole crisis in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Yet now there are mechanisms, and exorcists are sort of networking with one another. There's even an international organization, I think, founded by Father Gabriele Armoth. Could you talk about that a little bit, how they network?
Right, and like you said, Father Armoth was a big there must be others, but he really is on everybody's mind. He was the most public of one of these exorcists who preserved essentially a connection to the past so that all the wisdom was not lost. But we went through a big purge or a big deficit of the presence of exorcists throughout the world. But he kept, I think in 1994 it was that he started that institute. International Association of Exorcists was 1994. He started it. The church gave it approval in 2014. So just 7 years ago, it took on an official status. But they have conferences all over the world to train exorcists to do what you were saying, like shop talk. Like, this is what I saw in an exorcism, and usually led by expert exorcists because they have the most experience and they've tested things and seen inconsistencies and come to more prudent conclusions about what demons are actually doing versus putting up a show. And that's one of the things that senior exorcists can teach younger exorcists, is that demons often just put on a show. It's like a parlor trick, one of them said.
Wow.
It's trying to scare the exorcist, and it's something just should be ignored completely, whereas other things are very revealing of what demons are thinking, why they're motivated to do what they do, how much they really hate holy water. Now, one exorcist, I can't remember his name, he said that there, most of the exorcists, I think this was in the United States, are being trained to use a St. Benedict crucifix, specifically with the St. Benedict medal in the crucifix, because it has greater efficacy when raised up against a possessed person and the demon beholds it. Of course, the crucifix is a sacramental and has a very powerful blessing, and the St. Benedict medal itself has a very powerful blessing. So they're realizing what has the most power, because even though just a plain old cross has a power against a demon, but there is more. So why not use, you know, bring out the big guns?
Yeah. And what's interesting, and you bring it up a couple times in the book, is that the exorcists, by and large, or as a rule, I think, prefer the older formulae for these things, like the older form of baptism, which has the full exorcisms in it, and the older blessings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so. And that's, like you said, it's all throughout the book. The recommendation for the old baptism is something that in my own life, you know, I have three kids. We didn't know about it for the first kid. My daughter, she's six, but for the other two, we got them baptized according to the old rite, because there are exorcisms. There are really intense prayers, deep symbolic things, and exorcists see that in the power of the old rite of exorcism. I believe I'm correct. It was 1999 the church officially introduced a new one. Kind of like in 1980s or 70s, they introduced a new Roman ritual, which has all the sacramental blessings.
Yes.
But of course, the old is still valid, you know, thanks to Pope Benedict. The Roman ritual, the Latin Mass, the extraordinary form of baptism is all still there. And there's a big difference in what exorcists seem to emphasize about the old rite of exorcism is that it's much more commanding, much more authoritative. And the new rite is kind of watered down. It still works, apparently.
A little more diplomatic.
Yeah, a little more. Yeah.
Please leave.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Please leave.
Have a nice trip out. Don't trip on the way out. I don't want to make light of it. It's just I have heard, actually, that exorcists, when that new rite came out in 1999, they complained, why weren't we consulted? Whoever came up with this thing obviously wasn't an exorcist.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if you had come across that information, but I read that someplace. I can't remember where.
It sounds right. Yes.
Now, you talk about how, even though there is this sort of body of knowledge that gets passed on from exorcist to exorcist, still there is also this sort of, my words here, school of hard knocks that each exorcist has to go through himself, and he's learning things as he goes about how this works. One thing that never even crossed my radar screen is that each the demons have their own sort of personal psychology based upon their own sin and how they got damned.
That's right.
And which I never thought about it, but it's fascinating and how wounded each one of them is by his own sin. And of course, there's nothing he can do about it now. He's, because of the angelic nature, they knew exactly what they were getting themselves into. As soon as they were created, they were given this test and they failed with the full force of their pure spiritual wills. Yet it wounds them and it bothers them, and they have these peculiar vulnerabilities. But there are these things that you talk about that the exorcists learn as they go along. Could you give a couple of examples of things that exorcists say? Yeah, I mean, I didn't know this, and I learned it during an exorcism. This is something I found out from experience.
Right. Well, the first one that comes to mind, which might just be because we need to incorporate this into our spiritual life, is the power of Our Lady. I think there's a prayer that I have in the back. Yeah, I have one prayer in the back as an appendix that Father Ripperker and another exorcist wrote after they discovered something when they were dealing with an infestation in a home. The demon told them, essentially, eventually, if the exorcist gets command over the demon, authority over the demon in the rite of exorcism, then the demon can often reveal things. Of course, whether he's lying or not is also a source of debate. But this demon revealed that if the person whose home, whose property was infested, if that person would consecrate all of their property to Our Lady, then the demons would have no ability to touch it at all. And so they crafted a prayer based on the consecration prayer, the famous one by St. Louis de Montfort. And then it works. They've seen it work. So that's one of these discoveries.